I said to the group, "Here's my take on this. I think Matthew loaded into one single question all the confusion the disciples felt. This conversation on the Mount of Olives happened just a short distance from the temple, just outside the walls of the city. I've been there, and I can visualize the 12 disciples, if Judas is present, and Jesus sitting there on the hillside and looking down on the temple in all its beauty. I imagine the disciples about to have collective heart attacks over Jesus' prediction. They want to know how, when, and why Jesus thinks the temple is going down. For them, this is a massive 9/11 type change, if you please, and they'd never anticipated it. For them, the temple was the most permanent thing in the world. That makes sense? There were some nods. Not a lot, but some. John, mind picking up the reading again? We can't read the entire chapter, but I'd like us to get the flavor of some of the first things Jesus said to the disciples. Notice when John reads that the Lord didn't really answer their questions. Rather, he talked about a set of historic conditions and their need to get ready for them. John began to read again. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains." Let's pass the reading over to Lillian. Take the next paragraph, will you? Lillian said okay, adjusted her half-moon glasses, and began reading. "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death." "Oh my," she said, and shook her head. "At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come." Lillian sat back and said, "It's been a while since I've read those lines. I've forgotten how violent this all is." "Is this what they call prophecy?" Marianne asked me. "Yes, you'd have to consider it that. Jesus was speaking with foresight. He saw things in the future that no one else could see. There's always a question. Was he talking about things that have already happened since he said them, or about things that are yet to happen? There are different opinions on that question." "So what's the takeaway for us?" Lillian asked. "I wanted you to see one example of the Lord bracing his disciples for some wildly turbulent moments in history. These men are going to have to be masters of change. But most of them have come from backwater communities where everything stays the same. Nothing changes except rock-hard poverty and lots of suffering. But now they're headed toward the front line of a kind of revolution in a very dangerous world where they end up laying down their lives." We talked for a few minutes about all the things that were going to happen to the disciples during the next few years after the Mount of Olives conversation. They'd preach the gospel of Christ in the streets of Jerusalem, defend themselves in front of the top religious leaders of the city, face prison, bring Gentiles into the movement, and help launch a worldwide effort to propagate the faith. In the end, they'd end up as martyrs. How do you think most people cope with the kind of changes these men were going to face? I asked.